Yeah. And in the midst of that ironing out, in the midst of that washing away, God will have a church come forth showing His glory and revealing His glory in this hour to the world like never before. Amen. Now that's all choice. Choose you this day. I can push against that, or I can accept that. And what the enemy is doing, he's using circumstances, situations, problems, troubles, circumstances in the world for the church to say, that can't be God. But hear me, sometimes, most times, actually, your trouble is actually God. He will make trouble happen, not make trouble, He will allow trouble to happen, or He will allow the circumstance to happen in your life to refine you to the man or woman He desires you to be. What happens in the body, I will get to my word eventually, what happens in the body is we reject that from God, saying, God wouldn't do that to me. God will do that to you because He sees what is inside of you and what He's placed within you to fulfill His call on your life. You are not here to just breathe air and walk. You are here to fulfill kingdom destiny on your life. Whether your sphere of influence is 1, 2, 10, 20, or 100, God wants to use you in your hour and your sphere of influence to bring change. Hear me. To bring change. Glory to God. Are you with me this morning? Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 1. Let's pray first, shall we? Father, we thank You for the power of Your word this morning. We ask You in the name of Jesus, Father, to help us to get wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That God, in this hour and this age we're living in, Father, we need You to speak to us with a clarion call. Father, that we would make a stand in this hour. That, Lord, we thank You, Father, that, my God, You're bringing change and exchange to Your people. And, Lord, You're laying down the gauntlet. Pick up Your cross. Follow Me. So, Father, we would ask You, strengthen us this hour. We need the strength of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there arose a new king over Egypt. Egypt speaks of the world. You are going to see transitions happening in governmental orders and the way that the world is behaving. You're going to see things arise that we've never seen before. There's a king, a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happened in the event of war that they will join themselves with their enemies and fight against us. So, go up out of the land. Therefore, set them taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and build for Pharaoh supply cities of Pithom, Ramses. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and the more the dread of the children of Israel became. No matter what the calamity that's happening in the world, whether it causes pain, whether it causes suffering, God will cause growth and strength in you. This king did not know Joseph. This king, and I'm telling you now, this world is getting less and less consumed or less and less influenced by the things of God, because the church is not in her place. The church is not in her place. And so what happens is growth and strength to go upwards and to uphold what God has for our lives. God will strengthen a man or a woman in this hour that is submitted to His Spirit, that is submitted to His will, that desires to know Him. He will strengthen them in the hour of their need and uphold them in the hour of turmoil. You and I will go through stuff. I cannot reiterate this more than enough. There is time coming that we were going to experience stuff we've never experienced before, whether as an individual or as church. We're going to experience stuff. Amen? And guess what? You and I better be ready for that hour. I need to be strengthened in the Holy Ghost. My house needs to be strengthened by God. My marriage needs to be strengthened by God, because there is coming a time there will come a shaking. Glory. I believe it's already starting to happen. I believe that shaking has already started to happen. More and more people are leaving church like never before. I'm talking about mature Christians. I'm talking about Christians that say, I don't need church. I'll just go and Google it, or I'll just go on internet church.
Nothing against internet church. But internet church can't hold your hands up in the midst of your battle, literally. Internet church can't visit you in your sickness. You need to be part of community. You need to get into your local church. You need to be part of community in this hour like never before. Amen? There is a time when, and it's a while of the enemy, we've lost children to the internet. We've lost children to Instagram and Facebook. We've lost children because they have a relationship with a screen and not a person. And guess what's happening? It's happening in the church. Hallelujah. There needs to be a strength to uphold you and bringing fruitfulness. That's exactly what Joseph did. Bring fruitfulness and blessing in the midst of a crooked and wayward people. And we're living in a crooked and wayward generation. I'm scared in one way because I'm thinking, what's my grandchildren going to face? What's my, if the Lord tarries, what if my great-grandchildren are going to face? And I was praying about this just the other week, and I said, God, I'm a bit worried. He says, I'll grace them. You keep putting into them, I'll grace them. You keep putting into them, I'll grace them. That's my job. Don't you worry about them. That's my job. I want to tell parents this morning, don't worry about it. Trust the Lord. He will see them through. What he wants you to do is keep putting into them. Every opportunity, put into them. Every moment, put into them. Give them a reason to believe. Amen? Hallelujah. God will somehow bring forth the church in an age we are going through, the process, and I believe we'll be through the process of tribulation, through a process of trial. God's going to bring forth his church to be that bride without spot or wrinkle. And no matter what the world throws at him, the church, the world, the woman, no matter what the world throws at the woman, God has an answer to their problem. God has an answer to your problem. No matter what the world throws at me or you, God is my source to my solution. And so often I run to other things. A lot of times I'll run to this. I will try and work it out. A lot of times I'll run to this one. And all that God's saying to me is, seek me. Seek me. Yet a lot of the church is a prayerless church. You call a prayer meeting, you might get 10. You might start off with 10. The next week it might be 8. The next week it might be 4. Then it's you, yourself, and I, and your wife. Because prayer, what's happening is prayers become so convenient. We have things called dial-a prayer. Ever remember that one? You get on the phone when you're down, just dial a prayer. Only costs you 30 cents. And you could dial a prayer and someone would pray for you. Like, can you pray for me because I've got this problem? Not that you've already prayed. Not that you've sought the Lord. You want dial a prayer. Give me a fix. Get me through it. And yet all God's saying is, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to come to me. I'm waiting for you to be part of me. I'm waiting for you to have an ear to hear what I have for you. Amen? He's an intimate God that knows you intimately, that has the answers to every problem you ever have in your life. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Joseph went through stuff. Did Joseph go through stuff? He went through stuff. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. For I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many lives. What was meant for evil Joseph got a revelation that it was actually God meaning it for good. No matter what's happening, you've got to understand that God will work all things together for your good. You might go through your Potiphar. You might even go through a jail situation. You might even have to suffer ridicule and lies and stuff that Joseph had to go through. But at the end, God will bring you forth. Hallelujah. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Who wants peace? In the world you will only have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Take heart. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. No matter what the problem of the world is, He's already overcome it. He's already got the answer for your situation. Your God has overcome every obstacle that you might experience in your life. He has the answer to your problem. Do you believe that this morning? That solidifies me upon the rock. Glory to God. God is raising up sons and daughters in the midst of their pain and suffering to stand with the strength. Come on, doing all to stand what? Stand. Stand with the strength and the tenacity, empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Who needs a fresh empowering of the Holy Ghost this morning? Not a strength of themselves, but of the Spirit. And here's where the church, sometimes even myself, get it so wrong. We stand in our own strength. And when we fail in our strength, we blame God. And that's why a lot of babes in Christ fall away. They stand in their own strength, and then they blame God it hasn't worked out for them. Nothing. What you do, your strength will never uphold you. Your strength will never see you through. It has to be strength of the Spirit. And the strength of the Spirit is this. He's a God who cannot fail. He's a God who cannot lie. He's a God that will make room for me and make a way for me. Regardless of my circumstances, situation, you might have to go through it, but you will get through it. Hallelujah. You will get through it. 2023 has to be a year of resolve. I am not going to be moved from the truth of the Word. I refuse to be moved by what's happening around me. I refuse to be moved by what the world's saying to me. I refuse to be moved by what governments are trying to dictate to me. I'm going to be moved by the truth of the Word. Hallelujah. Empowerment of the Holy Ghost, not a strength of yourselves, but of the Spirit to stand in the midst of a crooked generation. You might be saying, "Oh, Pastor Dave, that's a bit harsh." Hear me. If they're not born again, I'm going to rephrase that. Even if they are born again and they haven't got a testimony of living in the truth, they're able to speak things that are not true. If you are not a son of God, you're a son of something else. Are we still breathing? You're a son of something else. Therefore, this is where some Christians really muck it up. They think love is accepting everything from everyone. That is not love. The dilemma is the church in general, when they get saved, think, "Oh, love," and they open up all the veils of their heart. And people go in and they trod on their veil through the veil into their very holy of holies and damage them. They have to earn that place. They've got to be entrusted with stuff. Jesus doesn't give you skills and anointing. Immediately you get born again to do certain things. You have to grow in them certain things and be trusted by that and be tested in that so He can equip you. He doesn't give a babe. You wouldn't give your babe the keys to your car, would you? Would you give your two-year-old the keys to your Mercedes? No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't even give it to my 20-year-old, never mind, 2-year-old. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't give your 11-year-old the keys to your car. And even when they get their license, you go with them just to make sure. They have to be entrusted. There's got to be a build-up of trust. And God expects that from us, a maturing of the sons and daughters of God. And then out of that maturing and that walk and that relationship, that nurturing of one another, that building up of one another, there's a rapport that you can entrust someone with something. But most young Christians, if you know Moses' tabernacle, they go straight through the outer court holy place into their holy of holies, and their hearts are wrecked. Oh, I thought they were going to love me. Oh, I thought they were going to do this to me. Oh, why? I love them. Well, you might, but hear me. Love is not being abused. Now, God doesn't mind you being used, but He won't have you abused. Amen. Therefore, it's a trust thing. They've got to walk through it. Crooked generation that will cause a shift in the spirit and coming out from among them and her crooked and perverse ways. Understanding that even though they were going through stuff, Jesus overcame all the stuff in this world. Can I have an amen? Jesus has overcome it. Amen. God is raising them up. Ecclesiastes 1 and 15 says this, what is crooked cannot be made straight. You and me have not got the strength to make what is crooked in this world in a person straight. You have not got that capacity. I have not got that capacity. Only one person can make the crooked path straight. His name is Jesus. And if you try in your own strength to make a crooked path straight, you will wear you out. It will wear you out. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. No, let's go to Ezra 1 and 5. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, the priests of the Levites, with all the whose spirits God has moved. God is moving on people's spirits. I need God to move on my spirit to strengthen me in this hour. I need His strength, His moving on my spirit. You need His moving of your spirit to give me strength in this hour. 1 Corinthians 12 and 6 says, there are diversity of activities, but the same God who does what? He works. Your God is working on you and in you to do His good pleasure and will. His work, not your work, not my work, not my will, His will. It's God that's operating in this hour. Next one, please. Philippians 2, 13 and 15. I'm going fast, I know, but I've got to get through it. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do the things for His good pleasure. It's God that is working in you to do. It is God's suggestion. It is God's thinking. It is this Holy Ghost provoking you and prompting you to do things. And it's when it's He's prompting you to do them things, He will give you the ability of the anointing to do it. Do all things without what? Hallelujah. And what? Murmuring. The minute you're complaining and murmuring, you're not in the Spirit. The minute you start complaining and murmuring, you can't be bitter and be blessed at the same time. The minute you start complaining and disputing, you're not in the Spirit. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights to the world. Paul said that. Crooked, perverse generation. If I'm lacking strength in my battle, if I'm in a place of questioning where God is in this, let 2023 be the year taking your heart and renewing your strength in Him by waiting on and entwining yourself in Him. Isaiah 40. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word literally means to entwine oneself like a rope. You are twining yourself. You're exchanging your strength for His strength, your lack for His lack, your old mindset for His new mindset. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of an eagle. He will give you the capacity to catch the wind of the Spirit to move you into another place in Him. Hallelujah. Waiting on Him, twining our thoughts, exchanging our perspective, let us be strong and of good courage, knowing that our Christ has overcome, Jesus has overcome the world. your Christ Jesus has overcome the world. And the world is only getting darker. The world is getting less godly. It's becoming godless. A new day is dawning and the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Who believes that? Romans 13, 11 and 14 says this, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to get up. It's time to shake yourself off. It's time to get your heart resolved. It's time to say, get up. I am going to do what he's asked me to. If he's asked you to do it, he's already graced you to do it. Awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Who's he talking to? The church. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife, not in envy. We cannot afford to have a church full of carnal Christians. You say, Pastor Dave, is that possible? Yes, it is possible. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. While there's envy, division, and strife amongst you, are you not yet carnal? And he was talking to the church. Let us walk properly as the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, and lewdness, lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. When Jesus got tempted, I'm going to finish on this. When Jesus got tempted, it says in Matthew, it says he fasted for 40 days and it says, and afterwards he was hungry. Remember that? It says, then the devil came. The devil can only come when you have an appetite for something. The devil will come with temptation when you have an appetite for something of this world. While he was separated to the Father in that time of prayer and fasting, and he wasn't hungry, the devil never came. And here's another one for church. It was the devil that took him up twice. So not all elevation you think of is of God. Because unless he points you out, and you're pointing yourself out, Jesus never pointed himself out. John the Baptist pointed Jesus out. Behold, the Lamb of God who's come to save the sin of the world. But too many Christians separate themselves and run with what they believe they have, not waiting to be pointed out. If you believe you've got a ministry of the Lord, you better wait till he points you out. Because once the pointing out is happening, there's an anointing going to flow. But if you go off half-cocked, well, I've got a call, well, I've got this, well, God's given me that, whatever you want to do, and you haven't been pointed out, there ain't no oil. You could have a Saul anointing. Saul was anointed by a flask of oil. Is that true? David was anointed with what? A horn of oil. God made. Flask, man made. You don't want to move unless it's the horn of oil over your life. That's why it's imperative to wait upon the and renew your. Let's stand this morning. Now they'll wait. That's next week. Take that off. Next week. Yeah. I don't know about you, but 2023, I believe the church needs to be full of strength. Full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Full of resolve. Separated unto him. The minute you make them sort of decisions in life is the minute there will be a challenge to you. Hallelujah. Tribulation might come. Tribulation could come. Tribulation will come. Are you ready to stand this morning? Are you ready to get in your prayer closet and separate yourself unto God? Husbands and wives praying together, speaking over their children, their grandchildren, whether they're there or not, whether they've been born or not. Speaking life, wholeness. Amen. Not moved by what I see, but moved by what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. He's requiring sons and daughters in this hour. Not babes, not children. Sons, daughters of God. Hallelujah. Carriers of the anointing. If you need some fresh strength this morning, you just raise your hands before the Lord. I really believe this is a word in due season. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to equip you. He's not going to rescue you. He's going to empower you. He's not going to give you a quick way of escape. He's going to empower you to overcome, to be a son and daughter in this hour. Amen. Father, you see our hands raised in this place this morning. God, we would ask you for a fresh endowment of the Holy Ghost. Father, we need your strength. We need your fire, Lord, in our lives in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we let go. We let go of those old things of 2022. Lord, we prophesy over our 2023. Father, we're going to see bones live. We're going to see bones live. We're going to see the bones live in the name of Jesus. Father, strengthen us this day with resolve in our hearts that we can take heart this morning in Jesus' name. That you're the God that's more than enough. You're the God of the impossible. You're the God of the breakthrough. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. In the midst of my Egypt, you will have me in my Goshen in Jesus' name. And you will bring me out through your word in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for you developing your house to be a house and a bride without spot or wrinkle. So, Father, we commit 2023 to you in our lives. We say, have your way. That we can be that salt and that light to this earth, to our house, to our children, to our grandchildren, in Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we just give him a praise offering this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Love you this morning. You might have come hoping that a word of New Year would be one of give me, get me, celebrate me. I can't give you any more than the message this morning that he loves you so much. He loves you so much that he won't leave you the same. And he will get out of you every drop he's poured into you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Happy New Year, people. Have a great 2023. Amen. God bless.